that's important to kind of look at it this way is because it costs money, right? There's a lot of money involved in supervising. And we don't want money to be a barrier, like trying to make money or, you know, to be a barrier to providing quality supervision, right? And so that's kind of, that's really honestly, I feel, is where this whole, like, thing starts. So quality versus quantity. It's more like clinical versus business, right? And so, but if we look at, we can't, like, in a lot of cases, it's not sustainable for every single tech to receive 20% to 30% supervision for every case.
Hi, my name's Steven.
Hi, I'm April.
This is the 3Pi² ABA Business Leaders podcast, where we discuss topics on how to create and grow an ethical and sustainable ABA practice.
Together, Stephen and I owned a 7-figure ABA practice that provided both clinic and in-home services.
3Pi² has helped over 900 ABA practices start up and expand with our comprehensive products and services geared specifically to ABA. Now, let's get to the podcast.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to ABA Business Leaders, brought to you by 3Pi². I'm April.
And I'm Stephen.
Are you making fun of me?
No.
Today we're going to talk about supervision. Does higher supervision always mean better services?
What does higher supervision mean?
More supervision.
More supervision, okay. Because that was one of the questions I got asked. And so just for people that may not be in our Facebook group, you can join our Facebook group. It's awesome.
ABA Business Leaders.
So I posed a question, actually a poll in the Facebook group, and I said, does higher supervision always mean better services? And it was pretty one-sided.
Yeah, so how many people participated in the poll?
We got 59 votes, and 94% said no.
So basically, it's a conversation about quality versus quantity.
Correct. And yeah, and I don't even, like, my thing on this, and then we can get into whatever you have, but if you when I was a trainer, I wasn't really a supervisor, but when I would train staff.
Outside of the ABA?
Outside of ABA, yes. There's a time to go with them and handhold and, you know, do all of it with them. But then there's a time where you have to step back because they have to flounder a little bit, right? And if you are there all the time, it doesn't give them the ability to make those mistakes, right? And I get that we're providing a medical service and we can't have mistakes, but it's not like we're, you know, drawn blood or we're doing open heart surgery.
So basically what you're saying is, like, once you've trained your staff, you've trained them, they've shown competency.
Yes.
They've been trained with that particular client on the programs, on how to collect the data. You've gone through the rigorous training and you've observed and you're pretty confident that they're, like, at whatever confidence level that you have deemed necessary for them to be independent, so independently run programs. And then, of course, then you come in for your supervision of their, you know, to check to see how things are going, to check for progress, to check to make sure that everything is going smoothly and the data is being collected correctly and all of that. So you're saying that once all of that is established, that if there's a high rate of supervision and it's the supervision style where they're really micromanaging everything and they're hopping in and doing things for them,
or
prompting them, like overly prompting them, things like that, then
then in that situation, that could be, that type of supervision could be not helpful.
Yeah, and I would assume, and again, I'm not a clinician. I think everybody knows this at this point, but I could also assume, and I think I've heard this, I think I remember, like, when the RBT is there all by themselves, I'm having this issue, then the supervisor comes, and the issue doesn't happen, right? Mm. And so, like, there's also that piece of it, too, right? And so it's like, then maybe there are issues with the mom and they aren't taking the tech seriously. And then the supervisor comes in and has to manage that, where if they're stepping back more, right? Maybe. Right. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so like a variety of things could be happening there, right?
Correct.
Yeah, and so, you know, you may have that observer effect, and you may, you know, it's happened so much, right, that the tech is, you know, saying, hey, I need assistance with this, this child is doing this behavior when I do this, and I'm not quite sure how to react at that point, and then the supervisor shows up, and the kid's, like, dreamy,
right.
Like, they're, like, doing all the right things, and you're like, how is my behavior as a tech changing when the supervisor's here, how does that affect the child's behavior? And like, what's changing there? Just the fact that there's this new person here. Mm-hmm. You know, there's so many. I'm not going to get into all the different variables because I think we can all agree that a lot of variables can happen. And that's part of quality supervision, is to know when to step back and when to step in.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and that takes practice, and that takes experience. And I think from BCBAs that I've had conversations with, those BCBAs or behavior, I say those of us, but I'm a BCABA, but who had amazing teachers, right? And supervisors ourselves to teach us and show us how to do that in a great way. And then there are some who maybe didn't have that learning opportunity. But regardless, it takes experience. And I do think that we could support that's another way we could support our staff, even if it is bringing in outside training on, you know, how to, or if there's someone in the company that's really strong in supervising,
right.
How, you know, like doing workshops and building up that strength within your staff. I have a lot, there's a lot of that we could go into. There's a lot of technical things here that I could go into. That's going to be, you know, somewhat dependent on your specific situation with your staff and the clients that you're providing services for and all of that. But why don't we just dive into the social media aspect, like we like to do from time to time, just to see what your colleagues and peers in the field are saying, in case you haven't, you know, happened across this post.
So you want me to read some of these comments?
So let's see. So someone says, although I run a business that has a lot of really quality BCBAs, including many who are remote, and they spend almost as much time with our clients as our RBTs, we are about half and half BCBAs and RBTs. I do think the increased quality supervision with a lot of engagement is really beneficial.
Okay.
Someone said, I said no. I think supervision should be determined by the skills and training needed for the RBT and the needs of the patient. Some kids move at a rapid pace and need the supervisor to keep things moving forward, while other kids progress is slower. Some kids have multiple team members, and since insurance doesn't cover team meetings, the supervisor has to supervise individually. Some kids have a smaller team, but maybe the same number of therapy hours. I would also look at the degree of barrier behaviors. Everyone is different. And I completely agree to this, as far as that's part of that there's numerous variables that are into effect. Yes, if you have more than one staff member on the case, you're going to be supervising that case at a higher rate. The team meeting piece. I remember back in the day, when it was very typical for us to have 3 to 5 techs on each case. So we were doing like 40-hour-a-week cases back in the 90s and the early 2000s. It was a very normal thing for us to have team meetings on a regular basis, at least once a month, sometimes twice a month, which was very, very helpful to make sure we're all on the same page and we're all, you know, looking at things in the same way and collecting data similarly. And like our expectations, right? And, like, we would take turns running programs with the kids, right? And that also helped us to see how kids would interact with multiple of us in the room at the same time. And so, like, tech A would be like, oh, well, I run this tacting program, this error happens, or, you know, this barrier is there and I can't quite get to this, or he will come to the table with me on this, you know, this particular program, mm-hmm. or every time we try this program, he'll only play with a blue card with me. You know? And so we would all talk about, oh, well, with me, he does this, or with me, he does this, or, oh yeah, he does that with me too. Right. And so we really got to really discuss as a team. And so I am kind of curious as far as, any of you that have, cases that have more than 2 RBTs on it, how often are you able to do something like that? It might be very helpful to, you know, it's not directly supervision, but it really is part of supervision, even though it's not necessarily covered by insurance to do that.
So I have a question for you. So, like, from what I understand and my limited understanding of ABA therapy, the goal here is to transition and fade, right? Mm-hmm. So I assume that the supervisor goes, does the treatment plan, and then they transition out and bring the RBT in. And maybe I'm saying this wrong, but right. And then is over time, should you be decreasing your supervision? Where maybe you start off at 20% and then you decrease it over time since the RBT knows the child, understands what is needed, how to work with them, really kind of gets them, quote unquote, gets them. And then, like, but ultimately the goal is that the RBT is leaving too, right? I mean, isn't that the kind of, the goal?
Yeah, it is. I mean, the goal is to fade out, but not quite in the way that you're presenting
correct
it. It's almost like you're fading out, but, like, together. Okay. Like the RBT BCBA, there's always going to be an RBT BCBA team together, right? And so there's also a lot of different types of supervision within, I don't want to generalize and be like, well, these days you don't, because I don't know that that's true, but there are BCBAs who are more hands-on and they're coming in and they're like, okay, let me try the program with the kid first. And we're going to kind of just play around with a couple of things to see where we're at and where we need to start.
Okay.
And then the tech is like watching a lot of the times, right? Mm-hmm. And then together, they're like, okay, now you run this program and let's see how it goes with you running this program. And then you give them like feedback. Like, oh, what are you doing? Like, oh, you're looking at the... maybe you're accidentally prompting, you know, there's a lot of accidental prompts. Maybe you're looking at the right answer, or maybe you're like, when you're asking, you're like actually telling them, there's all kinds of even subtle things that the observer can pick up on, right? When the supervisor is watching you that you don't realize on your own,
even if
you're super self-aware, there's the little minute things that happen and our kiddos are smart and you know, they can pick up on some of that. And so it just makes it more difficult to understand, like, do they really have the skill? So maybe they, like I was saying before, you know, if they have the skill with tech one, but they don't have it with tech two, maybe tech one's accidentally prompting them.
Right.
Or maybe tech two is asking it in a different way and they're not quite ready for that yet.
Okay.
But there is that generalization, there is the fading out. So, but the idea though is, as a child, you know, or you're mastering the targets, no matter what style of ABA you're doing, right? Mm-hmm. Like, essentially, you have goals, you have targets, you're mastering that out, and then you're bringing in, like, the next goal, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then as you are decreasing hours, as they're kind of ending the time of their, you know, whether they're doing like comprehensive or focused services also could be a big, right. You know, could be a part of that. So it's, we're looking at fading out, but you're going to fade, the BCBA and the tech are going to kind of be fading out like at the same time as according to the treatment plan. And I'd probably not even say, there are many of you out here that could state this more clearly than I'm trying to state it right now. But yeah, it's not like, oh, the BCBA does it and then the RBT does it and then the parents do it and it fades out. It's not quite that kind of thing.
Okay.
So, but then you have your BCBAs who never really are hands-on.
Mm-hmm.
And they, from the beginning, the way they do things is just telling the tech what to do, and then the tech does the programs, right? So there's those differences.
So like it's so supervision is more determined by the client tech relationship.
Yeah, it is. Now one thing that I will say, because I have like a chart here, okay, that I use with some of the cases.
Is this something that we could give away for free? And share?
I mean, we definitely could, you know, or if you want to reach out and discuss this further, I'm open to that too. Okay. Like if anybody wants like consulting or whatever, but, looking at like the levels, right? So you could divide your clients and your staff into different levels. And we're working on this with an ABA business leaders platform.
Yeah, we also have our utilization. We have our utilization, utilization sheet that we use that you can go by how complex is the case to determine the number of supervision. Is that what you're talking about, or is this something completely different?
Yeah, I mean, I was talking about like within like the growth paths.
Oh, okay.
We're you know, as we're working through the growth paths with ABA business leaders, we're that's kind of where we're going with that, is like that's what we're working on, is being able to help like pair those, the skill sets of the tech and the skill sets of like the kid needs like together. Gotcha. But even more basic than that, like I just have like here, like you have, if you know, your supervision percentages, right? So if it's a brand new tech,
mm-hmm,
with, you know, they're going to need more supervision up front, and right, then that is what you can fade back. Was that kind of what
that's what I'm fading.
So like I have here like 5% supervision is minimum requirement for experienced RBTs working with clients with stable treatment plans and fewer clinical concerns, and then like 10-15% supervision standard for most cases, ensuring regular oversight, skill building, and case progression.
Okay.
And then 20% supervision reserved for complex cases with intensive needs, significant behavior concerns, or new RBTs requiring additional training and support. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of how,
sure,
I like, of course, like it's, you have to still individualize it beyond that for your company.
Right.
But we can't have like necessarily, and the reason that's important to kind of look at it this way is because it costs money, right? There's a lot of money involved in supervising. And we don't want money to be a barrier, like trying to make money, or, you know, to be a barrier to providing quality supervision,
right?
And so that's really honestly, I feel, is where this whole, like, thing starts, with quality versus quantity. It's more like clinical versus business, right?
Yeah, no.
And so, but if we look at, we can't, like, in a lot of cases, it's not sustainable for every single tech to receive 20% to 30% supervision for every case.
Right. I assume like this is kind of economics anyway, even if you don't want to call it that. But we're dealing with a limited resource, right? There are scarcities here. And so you have a limited resource, however you feel about this. Right? Like your time costs money. It does. And so, you have to pay your mortgage. You have to feed your family, yourself, right? You have to pay for insurance because maybe you need to see a doctor. So, like, there are certain things that are required of all of your BCBAs, all of your techs, right? They have to make a certain amount of money in order to live. And if they can't live, then they can't provide services, right? So, like, there is a cost for everything that we do. And you can say, oh, well, we're only worrying about billable hours. I don't necessarily look at it like that. But if you have 40 hours a week, let's say, right, and you can maybe you can get 27 to 30 maximum billable hours a week for a supervisor. So this BCBA has 30 hours a week where they can focus their time and energy.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we're constantly doing, you know, high levels of supervision, and then you have a case that needs more help, then you can't really, like, well, I've already limited, like, yeah. I can't
have no wiggle
push on
room.
The gas, yeah, on this case, and put off the brake on that, because I have to have this much supervision, right? You've kind of, like, there is that, you know, there's that, like, what is it, learned dependence, right? Where, oh, well, I know my team needs me, and, like, I know my tech is going to, I know my supervisor is going to be here to take care of these hard things that I don't know how to do, right? Like, so I don't know, maybe I'm looking at this wrong,
mm-hmm.
And so I'm just curious about, like, how do you, is there a formula or a calculation that you can make as a supervisor looking back at how you did it, right? Like, I'm sure that there were times where you just said, look, I have to go see this kid,
mm-hmm.
and I have to spend 40% supervision on this kid because, I don't know, the things are just going really bad right now.
No,
and then I had to pull off the brake on, like, I had to put the brake on this other case because I know that the team is I have confidence in the team and the confidence in the family, and it's going to be okay for a few weeks so that I can take on this other one.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I never came up with a specific formula because that's not how my brain worked.
Right.
But I did have some checklist of sorts of some all in my head, and then I had to start putting them out on paper as, you know, we had, you know, a large team of BCBAs, right? And so I wanted to try to keep this consistent and try to teach BCBAs that management, because there is a bit of time management that goes along with it. So there's a lot of skills, and there's so much more than we can get into on just like a 45-minute podcast, mm-hmm. but there's time management in general.
Right.
And knowing how to prioritize in general.
Right.
Then you have to add that to prioritizing cases. Okay, well, then that's a whole nother flow chart, right?
Yes.
Of like, so you have like these different, these like levels, right? The 5%, the 10 to 15%, the 20%. But that's just a general starting point rule. Because yes, you may have like a kid, things are flying smoothly. You have a new, you know, you have a quality, loyal, who've been with your company for 10 years, tech on the case or whatever, right? And then maybe you have to add a new tech to the case.
Right.
And then you realize, wow, like this tech was a lot more capable than I ever even imagined. And I'm going to really have to spend a lot of time with a new tech to get them to where they need to be for this case. Or, you know, like we deal with humans. We work with humans, our staff. And our clients are humans. And so if there's one thing about humans is that none of us are consistent, like across the board forever, like that we ebb and flow. And so, you know, whether the kid is hitting a, you know, a hard time or, you know, next developmental stage. And so new things are happening and it just changes the whole game. Or, you know, staff, you know, is, you know, same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then like what I was talking about earlier, that's probably why there's less team meetings and less teams of techs working with kids. And there's only one or two, because that's really the only way you can get the supervision in.
Right.
Because, you know, if not, some techs would go a couple of months without specific supervision on a specific case.
Right.
Because then there's also, you have to look at how much supervision the tech is getting, how much supervision the case is getting, in general, right? You have to look at like skill sets. There's so many factors, but that's what I would do is even just sitting down and making a basic flow chart,
right?
Of, okay, these are the factors that are into consideration. These are the different levels that we have. These are different levels of like clients level of techs. Maybe you could categorize like how many years, like years on the job, you know, you can look into our growth paths because it does, that's what we're trying to do is help to standardize this a bit so that it is a little easier to manage and knowing how to handle it without just having to trust on like intuition, right? But then you have to look at, like, you could look at the skill sets. There is not, at least for me, I'd love to hear if someone has like a nice little tidy formula to use, but I just looked at all the different variables and tried to put them in a flow chart. And then honestly, scheduling is part of this as well.
Yeah, like, I was gonna bring
you
that
can't
up, yeah.
not have yeah. this conversation without at least touching on the fact that scheduling is a part of this, right? And then so looking at your BCBAs, are they, if you're in home, like, okay, well, are there cases that they're supervising within the same drivable area? Right. Or are they having to ping pong back and forth again, you know? So like looking at efficiency across this as well. And one could set up the most beautiful supervising schedule that's appropriate for all parties. And it runs smoothly for 3 or 4 months and then something changes.
Correct.
And you have to go back and look at the drawing board. And I think that's the biggest part with looking at quality is you have to look at that clinical piece, right? You have to look at bed down to the specific skills, like on the RBT task list, right? Okay. On the kids' treatment plan. You have to look at that. Then you have to look at, you know, like say behavior skills training and how you're training these pieces to the text. And then like you mentioned at the beginning of this, you have to look at how you're fading back from, because I think that's what you're trying to say is like fading back, the BCBA fading back from the tech enough so that the tech can have the ability to think on the fly and make these general decisions that they have to make within the session so that they can keep going.
Yes, ultimately this RBT, right, if things go well, this is going to be a BCBA, right?
I mean, you know, some people are great staying at an RBT level, but some are, like, that's, and so that would be another part, like, knowing your audience, right? Like, knowing your trainees, like, are your supervisees, like, and so, like, if you already know that they're really interested in pursuing and moving up to like being a BCBA, then there are certain ways that you can start, like,
And I don't even know that it matters that, like, maybe they just want to be the best RBT that has ever been on the planet, and that's fine, but still, if you have an RBT that has a 4-year degree and they have 1500 hours of that, you know. And, like, I have to assume that they don't need as much supervision as someone that's brand new.
And that is the case.
Generally, yes.
I'm not saying that. You could have a new client with a new set of skills that this person has
never seen before. I totally understand that. Right?
And I think that's where the nuances are. But, yes, 100, like, ideally, like, there are some... You can, like, so I'm saying, like, you can make a flow chart. You can plug some of these pieces in and get a good starting point.
Yeah, for the most part, we can make some general assumptions that if you've been with our team longer and you've been supervised by our supervisors longer, that you have more skills than someone that hasn't been with us as long, right?
Yeah.
Now, again, we're talking about different personalities, right? Like, I have a different personality than you do. You're bubbly and warm and charming, and I'm just, right? And so, like, you make friends more naturally than, right? People, you warm up to people easier than I do. And some of that is... some of that's not a skill that you can learn, right? Or it takes a long time to learn. And so I would assume that there's a group of people that are just naturally more inclined to work with kids, right? And some, like, even, you know, with our techs, we had some techs, they loved working with 10, 11, 12-year-olds, and then you would have others that were like, no way, that's not my cup of tea. I'm going to work with the 2 and 3-year-olds, right? Yeah. And so trying to, because, hey, look, the availability, the schedule, I really need you to work with this 2-year-old, like that, even though you have 1,500 hours and you're almost a BCBA, you need 20% or 30% supervision because you can't quite do this. So, yeah, I get that there's some weird situations that come up, and right, there's always nuances and things come up. I assume, again, not knowing what the hell I'm talking about, but like kids have certain milestones, right? And when they hit that milestone, you need to put on, you just need more supervision, right? Because, okay, this is happening, right? And so now we need more supervision. And then on these other cases, I have to decrease supervision. So, like, I feel like there has to be some flexibility in how much supervision. Can't be like a general,
100%.
We always do 12.5% supervision no matter what, right? Like,
I think you have to go back to your individual agency, right? Your company, your ABA business.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to look at your own values and your own, like, quality statements of, like, okay, what is important to us here? What is quality to us when we're providing services? And so part of that needs to be, what's quality supervision mean to me, right? Mm-hmm. Of course, you're taking into consideration the ethics and the certification board and, like, all those things, right? The medical associate, all of that, right? But how you interpret that for your company and what's important for you and how you want your people to show up and how you want to support them is part of that, right? Because there's also soft skills along with this whole process, right? For the BCBAs and the techs, right? And like, I think we've had this conversation before, maybe even some of it on the podcast, but not all BCBAs come into this excited about having to supervise.
Totally, yeah. That was a mind-blowing, like, experience techs for me. I had no idea, but it makes perfect sense. Yes.
Right. And so there are quite a number of BCBAs out there who work direct,
yes,
service with the kids because that's what they excel at. That's what, right, they enjoy. That's what they want. And no offense to techs, but that's not for them. They really enjoy working with the kids and, right, they really want that one-on-one direct service. And managing a team of techs is something that's, like, not their cup of tea, or they just don't, they recognize it that they don't have the personality for it or whatever.
This is not your cup of tea. Not I'm making you use your, I made you use that word. Okay.
Did you say that?
Hey, ABA business owners struggling to navigate the complex world of ABA practice management.
You're not alone. We've been there. And that's why we created the ABA Business Leaders Membership. It's your how-to guide for everything you need to run a successful, ethical ABA practice.
From compliance to culture, from billing to hiring, we've got you covered with in-depth videos and insider advice you'll wish you had years ago.
Absolutely. But guess what? You don't have to figure it out alone. Our ABA Business Leaders membership isn't just a guide, it's your growth accelerator, featuring 34 CEUs to keep you and your team on the cutting edge.
That's right. Plus, you get exclusive access to content you can't find anywhere else. Think webinars, live Q&As, real-life success stories from practices making it happen.
And the community aspect is unbeatable. Imagine being connected to a network of ABA business owners, sharing, learning, and evolving together.
No more second-guessing your business decisions or wondering if there's a better way. With the ABA Business Leaders membership, clarity, confidence, and continuous learning are what you're signing on for.
So, if you're all in on elevating your ABA practice, join us. It's time your business not just survived, but thrived.
Head on over to 3piesquared.com and check out the ABA Business Leaders membership. Let's take your practice to the next level together. So, okay. So my next question, are we good? Can I ask you a question?
Yeah. I mean, I interrupt you? No. I know this is good. Like, okay. We came at this with a specific outline that we wanted to go by, but I really feel like the more that we chat, I love that this is just turning into a chat, because I think that this happens, this should happen more, and it probably happens a lot, but maybe should happen more with some like clinical and business. Like, what does that kind of conversation even look like on the beginning basic level, like understanding all of these parts? But yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so I have two questions for you.
Okay.
So I get like I'm not taking transition and fading maybe right, but is there a difference between, in your opinion, and guess what? You're allowed to have an opinion. It's our podcast. If you don't have this opinion and you're listening, then comment.
I want to hear your opinion.
Telehealth versus in-person, is one better than the other? And should that be a natural, now that there is that availability for most funders of allowing telehealth supervision, should that be a natural thing that happens over time? We're heavier on the in-person supervision at the start, and then we, as part of the transition and fading, and I get that we transition and fade as a team, but still, you're going to have less supervision with a more experienced BCBA, I think that, or RBT, I think we've already agreed to that. So is this part of it? Because again, you have this issue ping-ponging back and forth. Hey, now I'm doing telehealth. I don't have to drive. I can do more billable hours in one time period because I'm not spending 3 hours in the car every day. So is that a good way to do it? Again, generally speaking, I get that there's nuance. Mm-hmm. But should I do more in-person training first, and then as part of this decreasing my supervision over time, I'm also decreasing in-person and doing more telehealth? That's kind of my question.
In general, I believe that in-person supervision is better. However, I think there's a place for both. And I think that the initial supervision, and especially it being in person, certain cases, absolutely, no question, especially when you're looking at, you know, those more severe behavior, elopement, like we're going to grab the iPad as you're running out the door after the kid or whatever, right? I'm being a little much, but you know what I mean? Like there's certain cases where absolutely, telehealth supervision is not appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
Because in those more severe behaviors, and even looking at is like, so in our case, even COVID, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, when we had a shift to telehealth, in some cases, we made like our own little screening tool, right? Of who qualifies. Because one of the things we looked at is if tech is in person, even like, so we were even like looking, okay, once we started some kids, okay, well, we need to be in person, but can we minimize risk within our company if like maybe one person at a time was in the family's home? And sometimes that would be the BCBA,
right.
Not just the RBT, but anyways, in a case of, okay, well, so some of this minimization of risk, can we supervise some cases even as we're going in the home via telehealth? Well, one of the things we looked at is if a BCBA behind a screen told the tech to try something with a kid, to probe out a new skill or to do something a little differently, to like try to, work with them in a certain way. If that's going to escalate the behavior,
right,
then we didn't want to put the tech in that or the child in that situation. And so we didn't make certain program changes, or we didn't have certain kids to receive telehealth services if that was going to escalate situations or put anyone at risk of harm, you know.
Should they be earbudding this? Should this be like private in the ear? Like,
well, even still, like, you don't know, like I'm trying to use general language here, but it's like, if let's say if you a child, it doesn't matter if they can hear, like just the fact of the BCBA saying, "Hey, try this thing," Like maybe you're like dealing with some like rigid play, right? And maybe if you involve yourself in the child's play or you move closer to the toy, you know, maybe the toy gets thrown or something. And so then the BCBA is like saying, okay, well, try this thing next, see what happens, right? Like that kind of situation. Mm. Like there are certain situations that just aren't as appropriate. Especially if you already know that a child has like the tendency to escalate quickly and then like a tech is there with no support in person.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I agree.
I'm probably trying to be a little more political than necessary, but I'm just, there's so many different, views on the actual therapy, the actual, actual hands-on part of everything. Right. Anyways, but I don't even think that it's something where you have in-person supervision and then you can fade out to telehealth only.
Okay.
Like, I think there could be, like, some kind of ratio, right? Like, you could do, like, and you could even track it. You could, like, figure out, have to think more about what you would want to track. But you could track it in a way where maybe you come up with, like, okay, well, as long as it's once a month in... or once every three times is in person, or, you know, the BCBA comes in person for this particular scenario, or you do like even in person and then telehealth in person. You have some kind of like pattern or ratio, right. Or, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean that you just go down. 'Cause I still think that even those cases who need minimal supervision still deserve to have in person supervision from time to time. But you have to look in all these factors, right? So like, are you in a rural area? Right. So is it like, it takes long, like you can't get out and see every kid for every supervision. Correct. So is it better to get some supervision and it be telehealth than not get,
right,
you know, not get the full 20% if that's what that particular like duo needs, yes, right? So I'm not anti-telehealth. Okay. I do think there's a place for it. And I think you have to really set the intention.
Right.
So if you're using telehealth services like supervision within your company, set the intention of why. Why do I have telehealth? And in what case am I okay with having telehealth? Make some clear boundaries. Not that you have to necessarily stick to that for every case. You can evaluate each case as it comes. But that way you can make sure that you're kind of, you're staying in that boundary that you have, and not like fading where you're like, oh, fine, everybody can do telehealth all the time or something, right?
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I just want to, as you were talking, and I just want to disclaimer this, is that, so many funders,
mm-hmm,
so 97155, it is protocol modification. So just because you're supervising a case does not mean you're meeting that funder's definition of protocol modification. It's just something to be aware. This is a CYA moment, right?
No, I think that's really wise to like, because it changed with a new code,
yes,
right? And we're using the word supervision, and everyone's still, most people still talk about supervision,
yes,
how often you're going to supervise. But yes, like that's not how the codes,
correct,
are anymore.
So it's just important, and I just wanted to bring that up. It's important to know what the definition of protocol modification is for your funders and what they cover under that, so that you can bill. And that is just something to be...
Well, and I think that's another variable, right? Like how much supervision can you bill? And how much is going to be out of pocket?
Yes. And that shouldn't be based on the board ethics. I believe that this is something that they state that it should not be dependent on the funder. But dude, like, okay. If you, like, I can't work for free. So how much free work can I do? And this is for everyone, right? Like, how much work as a BCBA, if you just had your own clients, how much free work can you do? Because you can't do unlimited free work. You have a family at home, probably, right? You have even
your own personal life.
Your own personal life. You have parents, right? Like, you have siblings, maybe they need help. Like, there's, like, you have your own life, and so you have to pay for your own life. And so you have a limited number of hours in the day, which means you have a limited number of free hours you can work, right? So there, like, I get that it shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't, but it is that way. And so, like, we have to take that into account. I totally agree.
Well, I mean, it really is. It feels so heavy, but training your staff and supervising your staff, right? Like, those are such important parts of running a quality ABA business. And those are two things that can be extremely challenging,
yes.
Especially like if you're like with financially, right? Correct. Because you, let's face it, there's a lot involved there that's not billable. And, yes. And so what amount can you put into that? And you know, where do you draw the line? Right. Because too, like you could look at it this, okay, well, if we're training our techs, providing better overall training for our techs, perhaps they would need less supervision. and then they would need more check-ins, right? And you would still need to check in to be like, okay, things going great. You know, because it still is very individualized service, right? However, if you're there in a session training, let's say man training, and you're, I mean, this might be pretty, I don't know how people feel about it. This might be kind of controversial, but it's my opinion. Take it or leave it. You know, you hired a tech, you did their intake, and they show up to the client on day one, not knowing anything about ABA, right? And then you're sitting there with the client there, training them on the job, but like, really on the job. So you're like, okay, or they may have taken something, like let's say they took a vocabulary training test, so like on their own time, or maybe they did the 40-hour RBT course, right? But they show up and you're like, okay, we're gonna, let me run through this manding program for you really quick. And they're like, manding, what's manding? And then you're like, okay, what's this? And then you're like, how much focus of the session is on the tech when it's supposed to be on the child that could have been done prior to putting this tech in the situation with the child?
Yeah, I mean, we just had a talk with someone, I think it was yesterday, about a billing, right? And so, like, their thing on session notes, and we're not getting into session notes, but was as long as it's, like, just momentary, right? As long as this action that you're taking is just momentary,
the focus is off of the client momentarily,
then you can still bill, right? Essentially, and you need to follow your own funder guidelines. I'm just stating that this is what the discussion we were having. So if you are like, how can you bill for a tech, you know, like 97153 and 97155, if you're constantly having to intervene and teach your tech how to do something, can you ethically bill for 97153 at that point? If, like, do you know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? So I don't know what the answer is to this. I'm just like, so there is that, like, you have to make a decision of how much front loading am I going to do on training versus how much of this is going to be done during supervision, and I'm going to fix it up on the fly, right? And so everybody's got to make that decision, because this is just life. This is the way it works. And yeah, I don't know. There's a lot here. We barely scratched the surface. But I do have one more question for you, and then we can end on this, which is, it's not really related, but it kind of is related, because it goes back to, you know, like time management skills as far as like for a supervisor. BCBAs, in your opinion, you're working with a in-home agency, because that's really what it, I mean, you could still see an issue here with a clinic, but it's mostly going to be in-home. should that BCBA do their own schedule, or should the scheduler take on, should you have a scheduler that takes on all the schedules, BCBAs and techs?
Are you asking me?
I'm asking you what your opinion is. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Scheduler, hands down.
Scheduler. Yes.
There can be some flexibility. There can be, I think that the BCBA's job title, job description, mm-hmm. allows for different than the tech or RBT's job description. There's some more flexibility there. There's more responsibility. There is a greater need for pivoting. Mm-hmm. So it might be like, I know I was supposed to be a client A today at 2:00. I got a frantic call from tech. I need to switch gears mm-hmm. to client B. And maybe there's some kind of policy in place where you don't have to necessarily ask for permission, but you have to stay in clear communication with the scheduler mm-hmm. and with the team. And then if you're having a lot of those last minute switcheroos, then you come up with plans of how to do mm-hmm. things differently or how to shift gears. Right. Mm-hmm. But it really decreases the load of the BCBA. But I do think that it's not just a blanket, like, let's throw this person in the schedule wherever they fit. You still have to look at all of the considerations there, and right. you should include the BCBA in that, even if there's like a spreadsheet or a chart or a questionnaire that you ask them per client to fill out. Like, what, right. you know, what's your ideal time frame to be there? What tech do you need to see more higher percent? What, mm-hmm. you know, you ask them all the clinical questions right. that you would need to know to do their schedule.
Right.
But then also that just takes a responsibility off of them with the parents too.
Right.
And sometimes, at least how we did it, is we would do like spot checks from time to time, and we would allow the BCBA to show up at a client home right. to observe a session without that was just the expectation. All of our techs knew they agreed to that,
yes.
coming on as a job, that at any time their supervisor or myself or clinical, you know, our lead,
yes.
Can pop in.
Secret supervision.
Anytime.
Yes. yes. And I think that's good. Yes. And then like just some of the logistics that I can think of is like, well, like mom and dad are home on Thursday evening. So I like to do my supervision at that point because then I can back it up to do parent training right after that. Right, like so there needs to be those considerations as well. Right,
and that's
so,
part of like getting yes. the feedback and having conversations to discuss these things. Like, I don't think it should be one-sided, but I do think that then it's amazing if you can have a scheduler to take the main responsibility of scheduling this, of, you know, notifying families, and then even like the way we did it is mm-hmm. Our BCBAs, they had work phones and they had email, and like they and at no point did they ever need to share their personal information with the families, because that just helped them to be able to turn off sure. work when they want, you know, when yes. they need to turn off work.
Yes. Yeah. So again, we're speaking in general terms here. And so obviously things change all the time, and that's why the schedule is so difficult to do. But once you kind of have a set schedule for the child, you kind of have an idea of how much supervision you need and when you're going to do your parent training. At that point, once all the pieces are kind of set, then the scheduler kind of takes over and puts it on kind of cruise control, essentially, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then the families contact the scheduler, the techs, the correct. BCBAs. The scheduler is the main point of contact to like reschedule or right. to cancel or to do, you know, so that just takes that really honestly takes the load off of the BCBA right. to and not the, have
and
to
like,
handle
and
that.
Like, you know, again, we're working with people here. So like there could be some things that maybe one of the techs on the team has some private issues that they don't want to tell their supervisor, mm-hmm. but like they have to tell the director because obviously we need, you know, maybe they have so now they can't do the supervision at this time because that tech has to switch their schedule and the supervisor doesn't know that because they're doing other things, right? So like mm-hmm. having that kind of main person that coordinates all the schedules can help with that, I would assume, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. I have a million other questions that we could get into, but we've hit 50 minutes and so we're done.
Yeah, no, I you know, I don't even know what to call this podcast, Ramblings of Stephen and April, I think these conversations are important to have, and they're ones that we have often off camera, between ourselves and between other business leaders, right? But I'm completely cool if you want to provide this little BCBA Supervision Guideline of Sustainability Plan, the template of it, basic information. We can
make a pretty little PDF and we'll share it with with anyone who wants it. I think that this may, my hope of this podcast would be that maybe, you know, business owners can hear some of, oh wow, like there's a lot of moving parts here, and these are questions that I need to sit down and ask my team, my techs, my supervisors. Because even like, when, how do you take input from a tech and say, I need more supervision on this case, right? So there's even that part of self-advocacy, or your supervisor advocating for more time with a certain, and like, how do you allow for that, but still have somewhat of a standard schedule? So there's a lot of moving pieces in here, a lot of questions to ask yourself how you're going to set this up. So there is flexibility, but also some standardization. Because if it's completely hard and fast, we always do it this way, I don't know that that's necessarily good. And same with, oh, well, let's just willy-nilly it. I don't necessarily think there has to be
and then making sure that
a balance.
The 100%. And then making sure that part of that conversation is, what is quality supervision? What does it look like for us? You know?
Yes. What is quality? Yes.
Yeah. But even like per, you know, we could all talk for days about that, but like, for your company, for your values, for where you're standing, what's important to you that happens during your supervisions? Yeah, because especially as you grow, you know, you're going to have your hands in this less, right?
Yes.
And you're just going to have to say, this is how I would like for you to, and you're not going to be able, but that leads to a whole other thing about like, who's supervising the supervisors, you
Correct.
Know? So there's other parts in play too,
yes.
of like, how do you make sure that the BCBAs are doing what, you know, keeping them in check and making sure that like things are, they're doing what's expected.
Yeah.
Not that they're not trying, you know, but just we all need feedback and
accountability.
Accountability.
Yeah, totally.
So.
Yeah, totally.
All right. Well, we could talk about this forever, and we will continue to talk about this, and we would love to hear your thoughts on this as well. Thank you for your time. I know you're very busy, so the fact that you listen to us, I really appreciate you spending time with us. And
you can
do your little like and subscribe.
Like and subscribe, leave a review, buy a handbook or five, and you know, get some consulting, sign up for the ABA Business Leaders platform. All of those things would be wonderful. Leaving a review is super helpful. So I would really appreciate that. If you find this helpful, help us. All right. Have a wonderful week. See ya. Thank you for listening to our podcast. Hopefully it was helpful. If you would like to gain access to this entire video, and actually our entire library of videos, please join our ABA Business Leaders membership. You can find that at www.3pisquare.com.